Today's daf is Baba Basra daf Kuf Hey. We are holding on daf Kuf Dalet Amud Beis at the Mishnah on the bottom of the page on daf Kuf Dalet Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. The entire daf today is about the issue of Tfos Lashon Rishon or Tfos Lashon Achron. If a person says two different Lashonos that seemingly contradict each other, which one, do, or at least would have in certain circumstances would contradict each other, which one do we assume is the authoritative one? The first thing the person says or the second thing a person says? So the Mishnah is going to tell us one Shita in terms of Tfos Lashon Rishon and Tfos Lashon Achron. It's going to tell us the Shita of Ben Anas that you always listen to the last thing he says, but then the Gemara is going to reveal to us that that is not a universally held opinion. It is in fact a machlokas tanaim. What's interesting is that it's not a machlokas tanaim whether tfos lashon rishon or tfos lashon achron. The two opinions are either tfos lashon achron, which we have in the Mishnah, that you listen to the last thing he says, or we're not sure. You don't have a sheet that says tfos lashon rishon. The other sheet is we're not sure. Maybe lashon rishon is correct. Maybe lashon achron. It could be either way. So that's it. And therefore it's treated as a suffix. So the Gemara is going to tell us that this machlokas, whether tfos lashon achron or whether it's a suffix, applies even when there's no possibility to say prushe kamefarish. Sometimes the second lashon is just explaining what he meant by the first lashon. Even when that is an impossibility because it's a direct contradiction, we would still have the same machlokas. And then through much of Amud Aleph, we tried to figure out what Shmuel's shita is on this machlokas tanaim. Shmuel the Amora, what is he paskin in this machlokas tanaim? And then on Amud Beis, we try to figure out what Rav's shita is in this machlokas tanaim. We're essentially going to have three cases to discuss. One case which relates to our Masechta, where you sell a base core of Afar. So we had already drawn a contrast in the previous Mishnah, whether you say base core of Afar Nimochalach Mid Bechevel, or you say base core of Afar Nimochalach Hein Cheser Hein Yeser. So what if you say both? Which one do we listen to? Mid Bechevel, where you're giving an exact, precise measurement, then it's got to be exact, or Hein Cheser Hein Yeser, where you're giving yourself some leeway. So that's going to be one of the cases that we have at Tfos Lashon Rishon, Tfos Lashon Achron. The other famous case is a Mishnah Maseches Bamitzia, where you say I'm renting out a property or a house or something for a dollar a month and for $12 for the year, and then it turns out that it's a leap year. So it turns out that those two are contradictory terms. Which one was it? Was it a dollar a month or was it 12 for the year? We have one or two other cases of Tfos Lashon Rishon, Tfos Lashon Achron that come up through the course of this daf. So let's begin at the Mishnah, Kuf Dalet Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom of the page. Mida b'chevel ani mochalach, hein cheser, hein yeser. The guy says, I'm selling you mida b'chevel, I'm selling you an exact, precise measurement, but then he says, more or less. The exact, precise measurement, more or less. So what do we do with that? What do we do if someone says such contradictory terms? Batel hein cheser, hein yeser, mida b'chevel. The fact that he closed with Hein Cheser Hein Yeser, that's the one we listen to, and that is Mevatel, the original statement of Mida Bechevel. We assume that it was a Chazara, he has changed his mind, and he does not really mean Mida Bechevel. Similarly, Hein Cheser Hein Yeser Mida Bechevel, if he first says Hein Cheser Hein Yeser, he first says more or less, and then he says Mida Bechevel, then he says I'm giving a precise measurement, Batel Mida Bechevel, Hein Cheser Hein Yeser Divrei Ben Anas. The last statement of Mida Bechevel, that it's an exact measurement, is Mevatel, the original statement that it's Hein Cheser Hein Yeser, that it's more or less. Some of the Achronim tried to figure out why we need both of these cases, meaning isn't it obvious that he's just telling us Tfos Lashon Achron? So they work on that. They work on trying to figure out what the Chiddush is in teaching it both ways, in teaching both directions of Mida Bechevel first and then Hein Cheser Hein Yeser, and the other way around as well. Says the Gemara, all of this is, as the Mishnah said, Ben Nana. So Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Mamal, Amar Rav, Cholken Alav Chaver Aval Ben Nanas. The other Tanaim disagreed with Ben Nanas. Not everybody agreed that we just say that we take the Lashon Achron. If you look at Rashbam, Cholken Alav Chaver of Dilididhu, Havi Mamna Mutl B'Safik V'Cholken. Those who are Cholik on Ben Nanas say that we view this not as we're certain that we take one Lashon or the other, but that it's considered Mamna Mutl B'Safik. It's considered a Safik. We don't know which way to go, and therefore Cholken. Therefore, we're going to have to split it. Misafkalu Yamrina and Tfos Lashon Rishon, O Lashon Achron, Kun Farish, Kamei Masnis and Demerchats. Umiu Rav Svirale Kebenanas. However, it happens to be that even though Rabbi Abba Bar Mamal Omar Rav is the one who's informing us that the other Tanaim disagree with Benanas, we're going to see on Amud Beis that Rav himself agrees with Benanas. He paskins like Benanas. He's just pointing out that it was not a universally held opinion, that there are those who argue. Rav holds like Benanas, Kidu Kaman Bishmaitin Amri Bei Rav, Istra Me'amai, Me'amai. We're going to see on Amud Beis that if someone says, I'm going to give an istara, which is 96 prutas, and then he says, me'amai, I'm going to give 100 prutas, halacha is me'amai, that it's 100 prutas. That's what he's committed to, because that is the lashon achron. So Rav, in fact, holds like Benanas, even though he doesn't, even though he's the one that's informing us, that not everybody agrees with Benanas. What the Rashbam is really adding over here is not that, he seems to be making a bigger deal about the Rav point, which is not a chiddush at all, that's just beferish in the Gemara, we just have to get there to see it. The bigger chiddush that the Rashbam is teaching us over here is that the svara for those who disagree with Rav is the idea of Mamana Mutl B'Savi Cholkim, which is the Shita of Sumchus. That Sumchus' Shita is, whenever you have Mamana Mutl B'Safek, it's Cholkim. The Maram in his comment on this Rashbam says, when the Rashbam says that according to Rabab Mar Mamal, the reason is Mamana Mutl B'Safek sounds like in our Mishnah also, by Mokhra Beis Kol HaChaveru, when you say, Mid B'Chevel, Hein Ches Hein Yeser, and you find out that the Karka is a little less than a base core, the din is that you're cholek the pchas between them, meaning whatever you gave less than whatever was off by, so you split the difference. So says Rashbam, that is not abundantly clear. That is not, I mean, according to Rashbam, that's what it would turn out. If the whole svar is mamnu muslim b'savi cholkin, so in the case in our Mishnah, we know what Benanas holds. What would those who disagree with Benanas hold? Okay, split the difference. It's off by a little bit, so you split it. He says, no, the Mishnah of a masker merchat, and he says in the Mishnah B'Metzia, where you rent a bathhouse and you say b'shnei masr zuhuvim l'shana dinar zav l'chodesh, that it's going to be 12 zuhuvim for a year, one dinar zav for each month. It says the machalik v'chodesh ha'ibur, and Shmuel says, yeah, that's if you come in middle of the month, as we're going to see in our sugya. But if you come at the beginning of the month, the socher has to pay for the whole chodesh ibur. And if the maskir would come at the end of the month, the socher does not have to pay for anything. So you see, according to Shmuel, the rabbanon who disagree with Benanas are mesupak, whether tvos lashon rishon or tvos lashon achron, and therefore they don't say mamnu mitzvah b'savi cholkim. Meaning they start down the same path. Yeah, we're not sure. Is it tvos lashon rishon, tvos lashon achron? But that does not lead them to the conclusion of mamnu mitzvah b'savi cholkim. What it leads them to is Hamotzi mechaver olav haraya, which is a machlokes tanaim throughout all of Shas. What do you do when you have a suffik in dini mamonis? Do you just say split it like sumchas, or you say hamotzi mechaver olav haraya? Shmuel is very clear that it's hamotzi mechaver olav haraya. That's why if the guy comes in the middle of the month, where they're both muchsuk on that last month, so yachloku in that case. But in the beginning of the month or the end of the month, where there's only one muchsak, so then you would not say yachloku. So in our mission, where it's saying midah b'chevel ein chesrei ein yeser, according to the rabbanon or mesupak, whether tvos lashon rishon or tvos lashon achron, the din should be that yada mocher is al elyona. The mocher is the muchsak, so he's the one that should have the upper hand, and that's in fact what Shmuel holds in the Gemara. And this is very strange that the Rashbam just says yachloku l'chori. He's making that doesn't appear anywhere in the Gemara that the Rashbam would say Yachloku. That is the Ha'ara of the Maran, that the Rashbam seems to be saying a very great Chiddush. The Ritva raises the question, how can you say that if a guy says two separate Lashonos that are right next to each other, that he's not intending on being chozer what he said originally? From the fact that he says something else from what he said originally, isn't that muchach that he's trying to be chozer from what he said originally? So how can we be mesupak over here? He doesn't even understand the suffix. Of course Benanas is correct. If I say one thing and then I quickly correct myself, I'm obviously correcting myself. So the Ritva says that since he never explains The last thing he says, it could be that he was that he was chozer from what he said besof, and he wants to be mekayim what he said originally, and that's why he was never mevarer. Meaning, it could be that he assumes you heard what he said first, and since he said what he said last so quickly, and he never really elaborated on what he said last, that he was really changing his mind from what he said last and sticking with what he said first. Well, chara the kasha is much better than the answer. So Tosfos Reed gives a different approach. He says that those who are cholik on bananas hold that when a person says two lashonos together, he's not saying them on purpose together. He's nisbalbal lashono. He's confused, and he only means to say one of them, and he's trying to say the same thing twice. But sometimes when you try to say the same thing twice, you end up saying something slightly different, something that's close, but it's slightly different than what you said originally. So there was no kavana of being chozer. That's not the svara that he's. He's being chosen, that's why he's trying to emphasize the point by repeating it in different words. But very often the way language works, when you repeat things in different words, you say things that contradict. You look at the Rashbams throughout this Masechta, all the kashas that everyone has on Rashbams is because Rashbam is very repetitive. So a lot of times when he starts being repetitive, he's not exactly saying the same thing in both in both lines. That's just the way things work. So sometimes a person will speak and he'll get confused, and that's the suffix over here. That's what the Tosfos Reed writes. Not that we believe that everything is being so clearly thought out and it's a chazara or it's not a chazara. No, it's not being so clearly thought out. He's just talking. So that's how the Tosfos Reed suggests to explain those who argue on bananas. So anyway, so says Mar, my kamashvulan. What's the chiddush of Rav that there are those who argue on bananas? Of course there are those who argue on bananas. Tanina, we already learned. In Bamatzia, Maisa Bitsipori, Be'echot Shesachar Merchatz Mechavera B'Shneim Osor Zuhuvim L'Shana Dinar Zav L'Chodesh, someone who rents a bathhouse from his friend, and the deal is, it's going to be 12 Zuhuvim for the year, and it's Dinar Zav L'Chodesh, it's one Dinar Zav per month. And what happened was, it became a Shnasi Ibur, became a leap year. So now they have a 13th month. So is it 13 dinar? Do you say no? It's 12 dinar for the year. So the Shaila came to Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Yossi. Va'amru yachloku es chodesh ibur, and they said you split the chodesh ibur. Meaning, if it was just about tefos lashon achron, if the bananas was the only shita, then you'd have to give the 13th dinar zav, because dinar zav lechodesh was the Lashon Achron. The fact that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Yossi said you split the Chodesh Ibur tells you that they're Mesupak, whether Tfos Lashon Rishon or Tfos Lashon Achron. So why do I need Rav to tell me again that there are those who argue on Bananas? It's obvious in Bamitzia that there are those who argue on Bananas. So says Gemara, Ime Hasam, if we only had Bamitzia, over there, it's not so clear that the two statements are contradictory. Sometimes they're not. You know, if the person says one dinar zav per month, if a person says 12 dinar zav a year, one dinar zav per month, it could be that when he says one dinar zav per month, he was just trying to explain himself. He was just trying to say, what I meant by 12 per year is that it should be one a month. I didn't really mean 12 per year. He's being mefaresh lashon rishon, not being so ser lashon rishon. Aval hacha, but over here in our Mishnah, where he says, I'm giving you exactly midah b'chevel, a base score exactly measured precisely, more or less. So there's no way that's mefaresh. That's obviously an entirely different statement. Devadei kahadar bei emala, where he's definitely changing his mind. So I might think no one would disagree with bananas in our Mishnah. In the case of our Mishnah, of course we go with the Lashon Achron, because there's no way to reconcile the Lashon Rishon and Lashon Achron. So Kamash Milan, that's the great Chiddush of Rav. That even in our case, where there's no way to reconcile the Lashon Rishon and Lashon Achron, we still say we're Mesupak, which one he really meant. We still don't say that we automatically go with the Lashon Achron. So a couple of things over here. First of all, Tosfos, and the top tells us, "Bamais and Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yachloku, Mashu mehachad the Masafkli and Rabbi Yossi Tfal Sashu Nishan Achron L'Shmul Dukla Bebabe Emtzah Chodesh." Now the implication over here is that Rabbi Yossi wasn't sure whether Tfal Sashu Nishan Tfal Sashu Achron. That's why he said Yachloku. Problem is, ubitmura ubimaruba, Amar Rabbi Yossi, Tmuras Ola Tmuras Shlamim. We have another parallel sugya relating to someone saying two different statements, one right after the other. Which one do we listen to? When a person says that a certain animal should be Tmuras Ola Tmuras Shlamim, it should be the Tmura of a Karban Ola or Tmura and Tmura of a Karban Shlamim. It can't be both. So Allah is Dvarv Kayamin Vainu Tfos Shneim. It's both. We listen to both of them. It's a Tmura of an Ola and a Tmura of a Shlamim. Even though you said two separate things, you would think Tfos Hashem Rishon, Tfos Hashem Akron. But no, we listen to both. Ubenazir Perk Beis, Umnachos, Bezvachim, Upsachim, Islad Rabbi Yossi, Begmar Dvarv Adam Nitfas. And yet, we have in Nazir and Menachos and Zvachim and Psachim that he always says you listen to the last thing a person says. So we have three different things that Rabbi Yossi says throughout Shas. Either we're not sure, so Yachloku, or both, it means both, or you always take the last thing he said. So it says, tells us, Yeshlomer de Bukulu de Rabbi Yossi, Kilu Hotzi Shnei Yachad. Rabbi Yossi has one rule. When a person says two different things, we treat it as if he's speaking out of both sides of his mouth at the same time. We don't look at a first thing and a last thing. It's the only reason one had to come before the other was because a human being cannot speak multiple things at the same time. He can only enunciate one syllable at a time. But we view it as if he's saying them both simultaneously. Ulach yav yahacha sveka, shari soser ze ze. So in our case, where the two statements are a direct contradiction to each other, it can't be precise and also hein cheser hein yaser. So that's where he's going to say that it's treated as a suffix. V'ef shalomer kan shadaito al shnein. You can't say he meant both because they're a contradiction to each other, so they can't mean both. So you have to say that it's one or the other, and we don't know which one, so that's why it's treated as a suffix in our Gemara. Aval b'tmura u'b'meruba lachi kam Rabbi Yossi tfos lashon shnein dein soser zeh zeh. In the case in tmura meruba, he says you listen to both of them because that's where in that case both of them are viable. You can listen to both of them. It could be a tmura for both an ola and a shlamim. Vayid de nazir menachos zvachim p'sachim v'mfarish devarav kamar de begmar devarav adam nitfas. And when does he say you listen to the last thing the guy says? That's if it's reasonable to assume that he's being mefarish devarav, that which he says last is an explanation of that which he said first. So Rabbi Yossi always, he says, Rabbi Yossi would always say one consistent shita. When a person says two different things consecutively, we treat it as if he's saying two different things simultaneously. So it's not about Rishon or Achron. But in certain cases, you can say that it's clear that he's just trying to explain himself. So then you listen to the last thing he says, to the explanation. In certain cases, it's a contradiction. So we're going to be left with a suffix. We don't know what to do. And in certain cases, we can say that maybe he meant both things. He's speaking simultaneously. He means to include both possibilities. So that's one point over here. Another issue that the Achronim raise is, how does this all translate to Bizman Hazeh? Meaning this idea that it turns out in this Abra Hashana, the year became a leap year. Years nowadays don't just become leap years. We can already predict for centuries in advance which years are exactly going to become leap years. That's the Mishnah in Bava Metzia, Maska Bais Chavero, for a year, and then this Abra Hashana, this Abra L'socher, that if I do it for a year, the deal is it's $1,200 for the year. Let's say there is no contradiction in Lashonos. $1,200 for a year, and then it turns out in this Abra Hashana, it's still only $1,200. That's Paskin Shulchan Aruch HaShemishpat Simin Shin Yud Beis. And this Abra Hashana sounds like it just happened. So in Tshuvah Sholom Meshiv, Madura Tinyana HaShemishpat Simin Chavtas, he says, L'chora, that's only Bizman HaMishnah, where there was no, it was all done Alpi Cheshbon, it was done Alpi Beisdin, it wasn't done Alpi Cheshbon, rather it was done Alpi Beisdin, Alpi Re'iya. So then you could say, the Ibor is something that just happened, and it's the mazel of the socher that he got something for free, that something came to him. But Bizman HaZeh, we have a calendar that's already established. You can't say that it was the mazel of the socher that caused him to just get that extra month. There is no mazel over here. It was a mistake at the time that they wrote the shtar of the schirus. The masker didn't realize that this was a 13-month year, so he made a mistake. So l'char bizman hazeh, the chodesh ibur should go to the masker, not to the socher, because it's not the mazel. It was a toast. The masker made a mistake. But says the Sholem Eshev, l'maisa, no one says that way. No one makes this distinction between Bizmanehem and Bizmaneinu and Bizman Hazeh. And in the Tshuvas Harif, he writes that Reuven was maskir chatzar to Shimon for a year and he didn't know that it was a Shana Mu'uberes, you can't ask for any more money, because it doesn't make a difference if you know or you don't know whether it's a Shana Mu'uberes. And the Sholem Eishev goes on to quote from the Mary Mintz that the real reason the Chodesh Ibur goes to the Socher is not because of the mazel of the Socher. It's because, what does a Chodesh Ibur do? Why do we have that extra month? It's in order to make the lunar calendar, to keep it in sync with the solar calendar. So the Adar Rishon is really the extra month. And that's what's mashlim the chisaron from all the chadshei alavana up until that point. That's what compensates for all of the missing parts of each month. But it's not b'makom chodesh adar of that year. The adar that's that year's adar is really adar sheni. So he says the fact that we call the first month adar is because we only have 12 names of months. But really, it should be called something else. It should be called, ideally, if we had some other name to call it, adar rishon is not adar at all. So the Sholem Eishev is making this assumption. It's a major sugya to figure out what's the real adar rishon, adar sheni. In fact, I came across it. Tzitz Eliezer writes in the tshuva that there's a minhag that people have that they put on, that bar mitzvah boys put on tefillin 30 days before their bar mitzvah. So they're trying to figure out what's that minhag based on. Halacha in Shulchan Aruch is very clear. The Rama writes that on the day of the bar mitzvah he should put on tefillin, not a day before. The Gemara says opposite. The Gemara says as soon as he knows how to keep a guf naki, it could be when he's 9 years old, he knows how to keep a guf naki, he should start putting on tefillin. Where do we get this 30-day business? So Tzitz Eliezer suggests, well, we really want to observe what it says in Shulchan Aruch, to put it on the day of the bar mitzvah. But when you have an Adar Rishon, Adar Sheni, it's very confusing because it's a major machlokas, which is, so we try to be machmir on both ends. You know, that maybe he's a bar mitzvah already in Adar Rishon, and maybe he's not, we don't count him toward a minyan until Adar Sheni, if his bar mitzvah falls out in Adar. So since we try to be machmir on both ends, we haven't put on tefillin already by Adar Rishon. So what, one boy in the whole class is going to put on tefillin a month early and the rest of the boys won't? So everyone, lo pluk, everyone puts on tefillin a month early. But it just reminded me of that. But the idea that Adar Rishon, Adar Sheni, we treat it like a suffix. Sholem Eishev writes like, it's a Dover Pashad. Adar Rishon is totally extra. It should be called something else. It's not even Adar at all. So the Chodesh Ibur goes to the Socher, because that's one of his months. That's one of the months of this year. The last month is one of the months of this year. The month in between is making up for all the other months of the year. And additionally, the other Achrona point out, and Pischei Choshen of Bloy points out, there's a svara to be more machmir bizman hazeh, that since he could have known that it was a leap year, all he had to do was look at a calendar. It's mistaber that was the agreement, meaning it's a greater chiddush that it goes to the socher when it's nisabra shana, comes out of nowhere that the shana is shana mubaris. So that's a greater chiddush to say that it all goes to the socher. Nowadays, of course, it should all go to the socher. Everyone knew what we were talking about. You know, there was no tricks. Everyone knew that this year happens to be a leap year, and nevertheless, they made the agreement. The yeshiva sends the tuition contract, and it's the same tuition as it was last year, even though it's going to be a leap year this year. So what? The yeshiva can say, "Oh, we didn't realize it's going to be a leap year." That's on the yeshiva. You should have realized that it's going to be a leap year. That's always the pellet to me. I think they still charge the same tuition in the yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael. You know, they give you an extra month. You know, Adar Sheni. I don't want to give anyone ideas, but I think that's what they. So that they had to realize. So that's it. So it's not a kasha. It's an adraba. It's more reason why nowadays we should say that it goes to the socher. Okay, says the Gemara further now. Amar Rav Yudomer Shmuel Zudivrei Benanas Avolcham Vamhalachachar. Pachos Shebelashonos. A slightly different way of viewing it, says Rav Yudom Shmuel, or of saying it, Rav Yudom Shmuel says, yes, the Tanaim disagree with Benanas, and what do they hold? They hold, we don't follow the Lashon Achron, we go with the Pachos Shebelashonos. What does that mean, the Pachos Shebelashonos? So says Rashbam, Acharos HaLashon Shemafchis Kocho Shelokeach. Whatever gives the Lokeach the weakest position. The Mesafkele Tfos Lashon Rishon Achron, the Aramochesh Hu Muchzuk Bekarka Shelo Ala Elyona. Says the Rashbam, what Shmuel is trying to say over here is, since we're not sure, should you follow the Lashon Rishon, or should you follow the Lashon Achron, we say, Amotzi Mechaveru Alav Haraya. We look at who is the muchzak, and the mocher is the muchzak. So therefore, whatever gives the mocher the upper hand is what we follow. Hilkach, therefore, says Rashbam, it plays out as follows. If he said both lashanos mid bechevel and hein chaser hein yeser, chazinan im hosir kolshu. Well, if he gave him a little extra land, lach yamar mid bechevel v'yachzir. So you have to give that land back to the mocher because mid bechevel is now becomes dominant since the mocher is muchsak in the land. V'im piches kolshu. If he gave him a little, the land was a little too small. That's why I said that the lokech is going to be stuck with that, with the more or less number, because that's the pachush of lashonos. That's following the muchsuk. So that's the way the Rashbam understands, at least, this idea of pachos shebelashonos. It's not really the pachos of relating to the lashon. It's whatever is less for the lokeach and more for the mocher. Rabbeinu Gershom and Rabbeinu Baruch explain that no, pachos shebelashonos means something else. It means we go after the word pachos is actually going on lashon. Lashon is how many words he says. Pachos is whatever is the shorter phrase. He's saying two phrases over here. He's saying hein cheser hein yeser, and he's saying mid bechevel hein cheser hein yeser. That's four words. Mid bechevel is two words. You go with the pachos shebelashonos, with the two-word phrase and not with the four-word phrase. So therefore, if he gave him a little too much karka, the lokeach has to pay a little extra in order to compensate. If he gave him a karka that was too small, the mocher has to deduct from the price. So you see that it's very clearly not always the upper hand to the mocher, according to Rabbeinu Gershom and Rabbeinu Baruch. The Tur learns the Shitas HaRambam in the 20th parak of Hilchos Mechira that Pachos Shebelashonos is actually going on Hein Cheser Hein Yeser. That somehow that's called the Pachos Shebelashonos. So when he said Mid Bechevel Hein Cheser Hein Yeser, it turns out that the extra karka that if there's extra karka, the lokeach does not have to give back the extra karka. Meaning and if the karka is chaser, the mocher does not have to be mosif on to the lokeach the chaser. He doesn't have to add in whatever is missing. So you have in all directions over here. You have the possibility of the Rashbam that it's always giving the upper hand to the mocher. You have the possibility of Rabbeinu Gershom that no, it's always mid bechevel, and then you have the possibility of the Rambam, at least the way the Torah understands it, that it's always hein cheser hein yeser. What the Torah doesn't explain so clearly is how hein cheser hein yeser fits the phrase pachos shebelashonos. Yeah, the Rabbeinu Gershom explained very well. Pachos shebelashonos, fewer words. Okay, good. The Rashbam explained very well. Pachos shebelashonos, whatever is less for the lokeach, whatever will give the lokeach less. But how does the Rambam explain pachos shebelashonos? So the Prisha explains that it's the lashon of that he's mafchis midvarav shalamocher, that which is mafchis from what the mocher said originally. That since the mocher said originally base kor afar ani mocher lach, so when he said base kor, he meant in exactly base kor. When he said mid bechevel, he wasn't adding anything to the original statement, because even without saying mid bechevel, that's what it should be. It should be exact. So when he says hein cheser hein yeser, he's coming to be mafchis what he said originally. He's coming to deduct from the original amount that he said, and that's what it means pachos shebelashonos. That hein cheser hein yeser is trying to sort of back his way away from a significant commitment and sort of bring down what he's actually committing to. That's a major assumption, also, though. When a guy says base kor, the automatic assumption is that that it's mid bechevel. We just had a whole daf about that yesterday, and the conclusion of the Gemara was that if a guy says base kor afar ani mochalach, it's the same as saying ki base kor. It's the same as saying hein cheser hein yeser. So the chora backing out is when he says the phrase mid bechevel. Okay, so that's a difficult thing. The Prisha gives another explanation. They try to figure out how the words pachos shebelashonos fit in. Anyway, says the Gemara further. So Shmuel is the one that said you should know that Benana says you follow lashon achron, but the other Tanaim disagree. So Zuvalos Virle, does that mean that Shmuel thinks that those Tanaim that disagree are correct? Meaning Zudivrei Benanas, and I, you know, I pass like the other Tanaim who disagree with Benanas? Didn't both Rav and Shmuel say that if a guy says, I'm selling you kor b'shloshim, he's able to be chozer on the mekach even up to the last sa'ah, kor b'shloshim, sa'ah b'sela ani mochalach. But if he uses two phrases, he says kor b'shloshim, each sa'a for a sela, so then rishon kana, your kona one at a time. Well, listen, korbish shloshim sounds like it's one package deal, and until you get all 30, you have nothing. Sa'a b'sela sounds like one at a time, and your kona one at a time. So why is it that you can that it's rishon kana? Why is it that we're following the last lashon? Why don't we say it's at least a safek? We're not sure, and we should give the upper hand to whoever is muchzak. So don't you see that Shmuel disagrees? Shmuel agrees with Ben Anas, rather, that Shmuel's following the Lashon Achron because he's saying Rishon Kana. So says Mara Elazu Vusfirale. When Shmuel says that Zu Divrei Ben Anas and his Chaverim disagree with him, Shmuel is saying, yeah, and I agree with Ben Anas, even though his Chaverim disagree with him. Does Shmuel really agree with Ben Anas? Umi Svirale? Does Shmuel really hold like Ben Anas? Vamar Shmuel. Shmuel says that the case is that the guy came in the middle of the month. Meaning, going back on that Mishnah in Maseches Bava Metzia, where I'm renting a house, and I say I'm renting for a dinar, I'm renting 12 dinar for the year, one dinar per month. So we said, oh, Yachloku, split that 13th month. So Shmuel says, you split that 13th month if they chop and they start having this discussion halfway through that 13th month. That's when you split that 13th month. Because the maskir is the one that's muchzak in the house. The socher is the one that's muchzak in the money for half of the month. So everyone keeps what they're muchzak in. So the maskir will get the house for the next 2 weeks, and the socher will get to keep his money that he hasn't paid yet. So everyone, that's where we're going to say that that you split it. But babit chilas hachodesh kula lemaskir. If you come at the beginning of the month, the maskir gets the upper hand. The maskir can say, "Get out of my house. I'm muchzik in the house. You want this house? You're going to have to pay for the house." Besof hachodesh kula lesocher. You come at the end of the month, it's all going to go to the socher. Well, so it doesn't sound like Shmuel is just saying tfos lashon achron. It sounds like what Shmuel is saying is that we go with the muchzak, and that we're always going to follow, that we're really mesupak, and therefore we're always going to follow whoever is muchzak. Ella liolam zuvelosfirele. So it must be that Shmuel holds zuvelosfirele, that Shmuel holds against Ben Nanas. And when he says zudivrei Ben Nanas, he's in fact rejecting the shita of Ben Nanas. It's zuvelosfirele. So says the Gemara, yeah, but if that's the case, that it's zuvelosfirele, hasam, in the case of the Mishnah, where you had the merchatz, where it's yachloku, time of my, why is it that it's yachloku? Mishum de tafis. It's because he's tofes half of the schar of that month, because the socher is tofes the schar for that half of the month that he already lived there, and the maskir is muchzuk in the karka, so he could stop the socher from living there for the second half of the month, but the socher could not pay for the first half of the month. So achanami. So over here as well, by kor b'shloshim sa'a b'sela, you know why Shmuel said rishon kana? It has nothing to do with whether lashon rishon, lashon achron. We don't know which one to be tofes. Hatafis, we don't know whether we should follow lashon rishon, lashon achron. So we follow the chazako, whoever's muchzak. So the lokeach is already tofes, whatever he's already been moshech, whatever he already did a mashicha on, whatever he already took possession on. So good, so that's going to stay his. And whatever he did not yet take possession of, whatever he did not yet do a mashicha, so that's still going to belong to the mocher. So that's in fact Shmuel Shita. Shmuel disagrees with Ben Anas. Shmuel in fact holds like those who are cholik on Ben Anas, that it's a suffix whether we follow the Lashon Rishon or Lashon Achron, and because it's a suffix whether we follow Lashon Rishon or Lashon Achron, Shmuel is going to say that Shmuel is going to say because it's savik that you follow whoever is muchzik in it is the one that gets to keep it. There's a fascinating tshuva in the Imri Yosher. The Imri Yosher deals with the following shaila. They had passed laws due to terrible economy in the Dina de Malchusa, wherever it was. I don't remember where the Imri Yosher lived. That even when a person's lease was up on a house, that you were not allowed to throw him, you're not allowed to evict him from the house, even if his lease was up, and we assume that the rental just continues indefinitely. So they wanted to know what the halacha is. Do you assume that that's the agreement, because that is that's the legal agreement, or do we assume that if there are two Jews involved, that we're going to follow the halacha? So he quotes Rishonim of Machlokas about Dina de Malchusa Dina, that some say that it's takana that's done for the tovas b'nei hamedina, anything that helps society and helps people in society, that's what we say Dina de Malchusa Dina, and therefore we should apply Dina de Malchusa Dina over here as well. Whereas others say no, it's only something that's l'tovas hamalucha, that's better for the government, but not for the people in the Medina, meaning taxes or things like that that are for the government itself. So it could be that the maskir can throw him out bal karcho. So he says it's a tali in machlokas rishonim. So the din's going to be amotzi mechaveru alav haraya, that you look who's muchzak in the karka, and the maskir is the balabais on the karka, or the socher is machzir the karka b'metzias. We have to figure out who we're going to consider the muchzak, and it's going to be amotzi mechaveru alav haraya because we don't know what to do. It's a machlokas rishonim. I don't understand dina malchus adina, and since it's a machlokas, we're not sure what to do. So that's what we're going to have to figure out who the muchzak is. And he quotes that the Rosh and the Tshuva quotes from Aaron Rutenberg and the Nesivas that a suffix that's totally in a machlokas, we leave the karka with the lokeach who has it right now, and we don't give it back to the marakama whenever the suffix is totally in a machlokas. So L'chore says the same is true by Schirus. The socher gets to keep it. That's what the Imre Yosher writes, like the Rosh, that the socher will get to keep it because we're not sure what we should do with it. The problem is that's directly against our Gemara, right? What happens in our Gemara? In our Gemara, we very clearly consider the maskir to be the muchzak, because we pass like Rav Nachman that the socher merchas for yud beit dinarim l'shana din rachad l'chodesh nisabra l'shana. We don't know tfos l'shan rishon tfos l'shan achron. So what do? You follow the chazaka motzi mechaver olav haraya. And what does that mean? That if you haven't yet lived there, the maskir can throw you out, and the maskir can say that no, it's my property, so I get to throw you out. So the Imre Yosher says, how do we reconcile that with the Rosh, who assumes that the socher is the machzik? So he says that you have to say that there's a difference between a suffik in din, a suffik in din when you have machlokas, and a suffik in what the guy meant. That when it's a suffik where there's a machlokas in din, in that case the socher is going to be the muchzak. But when it's a suffik in terms of what the guy meant, it's not a suffik in a halacha, it's a suffik in did the guy mean the lashon rishon or the lashon achron, then the maskir is going to be the muchzak. You just have to figure out why in the world that would be the case. Why would it make a difference whether it's a suffik in terms of a machlokas or a suffik in din? Okay, but let's see the Gemara further. We've got to finish the daf. Says the Gemara, Amri Bei Rav. They said in Bei Rav as follows. Istra mea ma'i. If a guy agrees to a sale for an istra is 96 prutos, and then he says, b'toch kedei dibur, he says, mea ma'i, 100 prutos. So the halacha is mea ma'i. We follow the lashon achron that it's 100 prutos. That is the amount that he really committed to. If he said it in the reverse order, mea ma'i istra, he said mea ma'i first, and then he said istra. Well, then the halacha is istra. Then the halacha is that it's again what he said last, and what he said last in that case is an istra, which is 96 prutos. So my kamashkulan, what's the great chiddush of what they said in the Bei Rav? Tfos lashon achron, that you listen to the last thing a person says, meaning that we follow the Shita of Ben Anas. That shouldn't be such a great chiddush. Ha'amar Rav Chadazimna. Rav already taught us once that it's Tfos lashon achron. Damar Rav, Iyavai Hasam, Hava Yehivna, kule lemaschir. Rav says, if I would have been there when that maisa that we spoke about came from Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Yossi about the bathhouse where they said 12 dinarim for the year and a dinar l'chodesh, he said, I would have said the maschir gets the dinar l'chodesh. He gets that extra dinar because that's the Lashon Achron. Rav says, I would have no doubt that that's how I would paskin. So you see that Rav apparently he holds clearly Tfos Lashon Achron. Why do I need to be told again that Rav holds Tfos Lashon Achron? So the Gemara explains, no, Mal Detema, you might have thought that the reason that you give Kula L'maschir, because when he says Dina L'chodesh, maybe Prusha Kamefarish, maybe he's just explaining what he meant when he said Shneimasu Zehuvim L'shana, that he didn't really mean 12 per year, he meant 12 for a regular year based on the cheshbon of dinar each month. So since there's that possibility that he's not being chozer, he's just being mefarish, we'd rather say he's being mefarish. But istra me'amai, where it's clearly not being mefarish, he's clearly being chozer, so that's maybe Rav would hold that we don't follow the Lashon Achron, and we'd follow the Chacham, that you have to follow, you go with the Muchsuk. So kamash milan. That's why Rav has to tell us, even by me'amai, istra, that he holds tfos Lashon Achron. Okay, but tomorrow we'll pick up at the Mishnah on Kuvav Amida Al.